Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
According to the Warren Commission, on March 31st, 1963, Lee Harvey Oswald asked his wife Marina to take a picture of him in their backyard while he had a holstered revolver, just like the one he allegedly used to shoot Officer J.D. Tippit, and he was holding a rifle that looked like the Carcano that was found on the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building. Oswald also had two newspapers in the photo, The Militant and The Worker. But how do we know the photograph is legit? There's the existence of the photographs themselves, yes, there's more than one, combined with Marina Oswald's Warren Commission testimony where she talks about taking these pictures. At the surface level, this seems pretty damning for Oswald. In theory, it shows Oswald about 7 months before the assassination with both guns that he's later accused of possessing and using by the Warren Commission. The backyard photos are a hotly disputed battleground in the world of JFK assassination research. To those who say that Oswald acted alone, the pictures are a smoking gun proving that he possessed the Kennedy and Tippit murder weapons in March of 1963 and that he was proud enough of those weapons to want to take a picture. The two supposedly communist-friendly newspapers that he's holding up for the camera help to establish Oswald's radical political leanings. The American public first saw this photo when it was on the cover of Life magazine on February 21st, 1964. At that time, the Warren Report had yet to be released, and the public's opinion on the Kennedy assassination was still up in the air. This was also a time when about half of all Americans read Life magazine. Skeptics of the official story counter that someone superimposed Oswald's face over another image to make it look like Oswald was in the photo when it was really someone else's body. This is actually what Oswald himself told the police when they showed him one of the photos. To get to the bottom of this, we'll look at the findings of the HSCA photography panel, Marina Oswald's testimony to the Warren Commission, and the chain of custody of the photos and the camera. In the next episode, we'll look at the numerous continuing arguments that the photos are fake. So did Lee Harvey Oswald actually pose for the famous backyard photos? Or were the images edited to assist in framing Oswald? Or is there something else going on?
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
This is Solving JFK. I'm your host, Matt Crumpton. When the House Select Committee on Assassinations reopened the case, a panel of photographic experts reviewed various pictures, including the Oswald backyard photos. The panel determined that the photos were initially obtained from a search of the garage of Ruth and Michael Payne on Saturday, November 23rd, the day after the assassination, during the afternoon. The Dallas police found two of these famous backyard photos, which were marked 133A and 133B, as well as a negative for 133B. Those two pictures and one negative were then turned over to the FBI and reviewed by the Warren Commission. But it turns out that there are a few more versions of these backyard photos, aside from just the two that were included in the Warren report. The HSCA looked at a total of four additional photos and copies, and two of those were prints of a picture that had never been published in the Warren report, 133C. Of these new images, the first was 133CD's, which was provided by the widow of Dallas police officer Roscoe White. Then there was 133A and 133C Stovall, which were provided by Officer Stovall, one of the five detectives involved in the search that resulted in finding the two images that were actually used by the Warren Commission. The HSCA reviewed another photo marked 133A DeMorenschild. This picture was provided by George DeMorenschild's widow, Jean. The back of the DeMorenschild photo has an inscription that says, quote, "To my friend George from Lee Oswald, 5463. The 4 is written as a Roman numeral. In darker ink, there's another transcription on the back of the photo that says in Russian Cyrillic, quote, "Hunter of fascists, ha ha ha." As we will soon see, the political star of General Edwin Walker was on the rise around the same time as the alleged backyard photos. The Warren Report concluded that Oswald fired a shot at Walker and attempted to kill him on April 10th, 1963. We'll cover the General Walker shooting in depth in an upcoming episode. All you need to know right now is that this reference to Hunter of Fascists on the back of the DeMorenschild 133A photo, whether it's fake or real, is probably a reference to General Walker. It was confirmed by HSCA handwriting expert Joseph McNally and two other experts that Oswald did in fact write the "To my friend George from Lee Oswald" quote. The other phrase, which said "Hunter of fascists, ha ha ha," was written by neither Lee nor Marina, nor George DeMorenschild, according to these experts. That phrase was apparently written by one person and then retraced by someone else who was not familiar with Russian Cyrillic, according to McNally. There were actually three different people who wrote on the back of this picture, but aside from Oswald, he couldn't positively identify any of them. So Oswald and two other unknown people wrote on the back of this picture, but the other two people are not Marina and not George DeMorenschild. If the experts are right, who could possibly have written on the photo, and why would they write that if it wasn't Marina or DeMorenschild? And while we're on the topic of 133A DeMorenschild, where did this mysterious photo come from? At what point exactly does it enter the picture? DeMorenschild said that his wife found it in a vinyl record sleeve in his storage unit after they returned from Haiti. He also said that he was in Haiti on April 5th, 1963, so the inscription could not have been for that date because he wouldn't have seen Lee at that time. But as author James D. Eugenio points out, DeMorenschild wasn't truthful about that. He wasn't in Haiti on April 5th. He didn't actually leave until April 13th or April 14th. Going another level deeper, exactly how did the vinyl records make their way into DeMorenschild's storage unit? It turns out that they were picked up from Everett Glover's house, But Michael Payne is the one who dropped the records off to Glover. DeMorin Schilt had let Marina borrow a few of his English language records to try to help her learn English. So the vinyl records would have all been at the Payne house. But the reason that this doesn't totally add up is that the Dallas police inventoried and collected several boxes of vinyl records. It's in the written report. Either the police and the FBI didn't see this photo when they took the records into evidence, or the photo was put in the record sleeve after the records had been returned by the investigators, but before they were given to Everett Glover. The HSCA photo panel, relying on scientists from the Rochester Institute of Technology, determined that the one negative they had in evidence, the same one from the Warren Commission, did in fact come from an Imperial Reflex camera, which is the kind of camera that Marina eventually said Lee owned. The scientists took test pictures using two different Imperial Reflex cameras, not the actual camera that's alleged to be the one Marina used. What they found is that with the Imperial Reflex, the film is drug across the film plane on the inside of the camera each time a picture is snapped. And that dragging action creates consistent scratches on the pictures. Also, the mold on the camera makes an imperfect edge around the image. And the edges of images taken with the Imperial Reflex camera are always blurry. All of these characteristics, the scratches around the edge, the imperfect edge, and the blur away from the center of the image, established that the negative for the backyard photos was, in fact, taken by an Imperial Reflex camera. Commission Exhibit 2557 is an 8-page FBI report that lays out how the camera came to be in the FBI's custody. The report says that about 3 weeks after the assassination, Robert Oswald, Lee's brother, went to Ruth Payne's house to pick up some items that she said belonged to Lee. Then, on February 24th, about 10 weeks later, Robert finally gave this camera to the FBI. According to Robert, his brother Lee bought the Imperial Reflex camera in 1957 and then left it with Robert in 1959 when Lee went to Russia. Then in 1962, Lee returned from Russia and picked up the camera from his brother. But when Ruth Payne's home was initially searched on the day of the assassination and the day after, none of the Dallas police officers remembered seeing an Imperial Reflex camera among Oswald's possessions. They did document a Russian Quera 2 camera and a stereo realist camera, but no Imperial Reflex camera. Those four Dallas detectives, John Adamczyk, Richard Stovall, Gus Rose, and Henry Moore, were shown a photo of the Imperial Reflex by the FBI. None of them recalled seeing that particular camera that day. And they all said that if it had been discovered during their search, they would have brought it in. But there was one other officer who searched Ruth Payne's garage that day, Detective John McCabe from the Irving Police Department. According to an FBI report, McCabe is, quote, certain that he saw a light gray box camera in a box in Mrs. Payne's garage. McCabe stated that this camera was in a box which contained books and photographs belonging to Lee Harvey Oswald. McCabe also said that he searched this box, but he didn't take the camera since he didn't consider it to be of any evidentiary value. Detective McCabe told the FBI that the Imperial Reflex camera that he saw was, quote, in a box containing some books, some pictures, and a camera. But it appears that the box that McCabe is referencing was inventoried by the Dallas police. This box shows up in the Stovall D exhibit, and is listed as containing 13 books and some random items such as dice and a pencil sharpener. But there's no mention of any camera or photos. So we have four Dallas cops who are on the record saying that they looked and they didn't see a box camera like the Imperial Reflex, and that they would have remembered it and inventoried it if they did. And then on the other side, we have Irving Detective McCabe, who says that he definitely did see the box camera. This is another one of those fun who should you believe games within the JFK assassination. Critics point to the four cops who did the search and didn't find the camera as evidence that it was planted after the fact. And I agree that it's definitely weird that those four detectives don't remember seeing that camera. But then we have Detective McCabe right there in the record, implying that the other four cops must have just been mistaken because he is sure of what he saw, even though the camera is not mentioned in the inventory and the box he says it was in is included. Hey everybody, Matt Crumpton here. When I'm not researching, writing, or recording, one of my favorite ways to relax is with federally legal THC from Mood.com. This stuff doesn't come from a lab. It's pesticide-free and grown on American farms. You can get 20% off your first order using the code JFK. One of my go-tos is the functional gummies from Mood.com. These gummies only take 15 minutes to feel the effects, and you can choose all kinds of different moods, from creativity to pain relief to just plain old relaxation. Everything comes right to your door and is discreetly labeled. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, you also get 20% off of your first order using code JFK. So head on over to Mood.com and find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Remember, use code JFK for a 20% discount.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The premise of the backyard photos being authentic relies on two things being true. One, that Lee Harvey Oswald owned the Imperial Reflex camera. And two, that Marina Oswald took the backyard photos using the Imperial Reflex camera. Most of the information that we have available to try to answer these questions comes from various statements of Marina Oswald, which means that Marina's credibility as a witness is a big part of the backyard photos story. Regarding the cameras that the couple owned, here's the timeline of Marina Oswald's statements. On January 29th, 1964, she said that they owned two cameras, a Russian Quera 2 and a Stereo Realist. This testimony was consistent with the cameras that were actually in evidence at the time, since the police did, in fact, recover a Quera 2 and a Stereo Realist. Then, 3 weeks later, on February 19th, Marina was shown a photo of the Stereo Realist camera, one of the two in evidence, and for the first time, she said that this camera didn't look familiar to her. Then, on February 25th, Marina is shown the Imperial Reflex camera, and she says that camera was the one that belonged to her husband, and it was the one that she used to take the backyard photos. Finally, on August 12th, the Stereo Realist camera was returned to Ruth Payne, who said that it was hers the whole time. Basically, the evolution of Marina's testimony was that the stereo realist wasn't hers, but the imperial reflex, which wasn't in evidence because it was in Robert Oswald's possession, did belong to Lee. Critics question how Marina could maintain for 2.5 months that the family owned the stereo realist camera and then suddenly change her mind. Part of that skepticism on the part of critics comes from the fact that Marina, June, and her infant daughter Rachel all stayed at Robert Oswald's house on February 10th and February 11th of 1964. Those dates are significant because Marina changed her testimony about the cameras on February 19th only after staying with Robert. But maybe this is nothing. Marina also told the Warren Commission that the backyard photos of Lee are, quote, the only time she took any pictures because she said she didn't know how to take pictures. I've heard Warren Report critics say that it's weird that Marina, who had a small child in the house, took only one photo during the entirety of her and Lee's marriage, and that was a picture of Lee with guns in the backyard. But that's not evidence. Yes, it's strange, but it doesn't necessarily prove anything. There's also the claim that there were no other photos taken with the Imperial Reflex camera at all, aside from those infamous backyard pictures. But it turns out there are 11 photos, mostly of Marina and her daughter June, that were taken in New Orleans with that same Imperial Reflex camera. Apparently, all of these pictures were taken in one session. Now, the reason this matters is that it goes against the argument that the Imperial Reflex camera, which took the backyard photos, was used solely for that purpose and is thus suspicious. If the camera was used for more pictures than just Oswald's guns and newspapers backyard photo, then it's much more believable that Oswald actually owned the camera. So what do we know about who took these other 11 photos on the Imperial Reflex? Marina appears in the photos, so it can't be her. The possibilities are that either it was Oswald himself or it was Ruth Payne. Payne drove to New Orleans and was there with Marina for several days that overlap with the time period when the photos must have been taken. And while official story defenders are quick to argue that Oswald took the photos, a letter from Marina to Ruth Payne seems to prove once and for all that it was Ruth Payne who took the other 11 pictures. The postscript of a letter from Marina to Ruth says, quote, "Have you got the photographs which you took in New Orleans?" Therefore, it looks like it was Ruth Payne who took these 11 photos, and she did it while Lee was at work, making it possible that he never even knew the photos existed. Marina told author and former CIA asset Priscilla McMillan that Lee developed the backyard photos himself when McMillan interviewed Marina for her book. But the HSCA photo panel determined that both of the pictures that were found in Ruth Payne's garage and later given to the Warren Commission were developed at a drugstore and not by Lee Harvey Oswald. On the other hand, the De Morenschild photo was developed in a non-commercial setting. This means that Marina is wrong and that Oswald could not have developed 133A and 133B, but Oswald could have developed the photo for De Morenschild and given that one to him. The photo labeled 133A De Morenschild was made outside of a commercial photo lab. And remember, it also has writing which the experts say matches Oswald's. But just because Oswald could have developed this image for De Morenschild doesn't mean that he did. Another reason why critics doubt Marina's testimony that she is the one who took the backyard photos is that she told the HSCA the way to use the Imperial Reflex camera was to just put it up to your eye and shoot like any other regular camera. She also said that the camera was black. But in reality, the gray Imperial Reflex was a very different style of camera. It required the photographer to hold the camera around their waist and look down into the large rectangular viewfinder as opposed to just looking straight at the subject. It seems like Marina would remember taking those pictures if they were the only ones she ever took in her life, especially because the way the pictures are taken using the Imperial Reflex is so counterintuitive. While Marina's testimony was frequently damning of her husband, she wasn't seen as a reliable witness by the Warren Commission because of the numerous inconsistencies in her statements. As I was reading Marina's Warren Commission transcripts, one of the things that jumped out at me was this exchange when she was changing her position about having seen Oswald with a rifle. Marina said, quote, "Yes, I said before I had never seen the rifle before, but I think you understand. I want to help you, and this is why there is no reason for concealing anything. I will not be charged with anything." It sounds like Marina is saying that she'll say whatever they want to hear so long as she isn't charged with any crimes. If that is what she's saying, then her testimony seems to be coerced and can't be considered to be reliable. But it actually goes further than that. Less than 1 week after the assassination, on November 27th, 1963, Marina was interviewed by FBI agents Brown and Hostey at the Six Flags Inn Motel where she and her two small children were staying. During that interview, FBI agents told Marina that if she cooperated with the government, they would help her to stay in the United States. The FBI report also says, quote, "Marina was asked how she intended to make a living for herself and her children. She said she would find some type of work. She was then told that her cooperation with the government could also be of assistance." So the FBI agents ask Marina how she's going to make a living and take care of her kids, and then they quickly add that, quote, "the government could also be of assistance." I don't know how to read that any way other than the government will pay you money to cooperate. Now, perhaps what they meant was they would help direct her to existing government programs that could potentially help her. But the context here makes it seem like more than that. Now, the definition of cooperation could mean many different things. Still, given the implication in the documents that Marina was promised financial assistance, whether she received it or not, and she was promised the opportunity to stay in America, that would have to impact what she said during her testimony. I don't know what Marina's motives were or why she said what she said, but we have to be aware of what will become an ongoing theme in this case. Marina Oswald's testimony is often inconsistent and sometimes flat out impossible. Next time on Solving JFK, we continue looking at the backyard photos with a focus on the arguments against their authenticity, including foreknowledge of the photos before they were discovered, and the allegations of the widow of Roscoe White. If you heard anything that you believe is out of context, or if you have additional information to offer, you can let us know at solvingjfkpodcast@gmail.com. Please provide citations to the record for any fact that you're relying on. For transcripts, sources, and official podcast merchandise, Visit SolvingJFKPodcast.com.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Thanks for listening. Visit SolvingJFKPodcast.com for more information.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.